Everyone, welcome back to All Talk No Balk. We're in episode 11. I'm Heather.
I'm Charles.
And I'm Reese.
And so today we wanted to start off on a little bit of a somber note, just in terms of, you know, we're always trying to bring awareness to these important issues that go on around sports. And although we don't talk about, you know, football, basketball, it happened in the sports community, so we feel we should shine a light on it. The comments that Skip Bayless made on his Fox show, Undisputed, were horrendous in terms of, if for those that don't know, Dak Prescott came out a few days ago and sort of revealed that COVID combined with his brother's suicide, you know, had a big effect on his mental health, and he struggled with depression in particular. And, you know, he's so brave to even say that. By no means does he need to be so open about that. And for Skip Bayless to basically sort of make him feel bad or sort of make him feel guilty for, because he's the quarterback of America's team, you know, sometimes we forget that these athletes, no matter how elite they are human beings before they're athletes, before they're football players. And I notice this with football a lot, particularly in this country. We put these athletes, even college players, on such a pedestal that isn't fair. But apart from that, if we are to put them on this pedestal, what Dak Prescott did will help so many young people, particularly men, feel open to talk about their mental health, even if it isn't all rosy. And we all go through hard times. What Dak Prescott went through with his brother and his mom previously, who also passed away, is unthinkable. And we just, our hearts go out to him, and we're very disappointed in Skip for, because he's, you know, a big voice in the sports world. A lot of people listen to him if they don't take him so seriously sometimes, because he has crazy things to say. But he is an important voice, and for him to put Dak Prescott down or kind of denigrate him in that way is just horrendous. I can't even believe that it's 2020 and we're still stigmatizing mental health like that. So does anybody have anything to add to that? Or
I just hope it gives more players and other people in the industry a platform to stand on in terms of discussing these issues. You know, in the NBA, when Kevin Love came out, he said he was bipolar, and that allowed people like Carson Daly and others in the media industry to feel comfortable enough to come out and say they were bipolar, because they feel that if they come out, it weakens them in a way, or, you know, there's a stigma on them, which there shouldn't be. You know, that they should be proud and they should feel comfortable coming out like that. So I love what Dak did, and for Skip to say that just really hurts the chances of other people moving forward like this.
Yeah, it's a step backwards, certainly, that we don't like to see. And again, our hearts go out to the Prescott family as a whole and Dak. And we certainly hope that more people come forward and express these painful things, because it helps the community at large. So
and our hearts as well, really fast, Heather. I wanted to give a mention to those families and those lives that were affected yesterday, 9/11, we must never forget. And want to honor those people, all the firefighters that saved so many lives that day. So,
it was a sadder week, I guess, all the way around. But it's always important to remember 9/11, and it'll be 20 years next year, which is wild to think about. So yeah, we're recording on Saturday today, just so everybody knows. Okay. So moving on to a little bit more lighthearted, our normal baseball talk. We are going to today, not so much current events as in what's been going on in the week. It's been, other than like two teams just loading up on steroids it with crazy scores and crooked numbers. It wasn't too exciting of a week. So we're just going to go back a little bit, sort of a season in review now that we're almost done. We are going to look at sort of the rule changes with the special COVID season and see kind of what worked and what didn't. So all of us are going to name our favorite rule change, the one that we think might have a lasting effect or the one that we sort of want to stick around. And then our least favorite rule change, what definitely needs to go by next season. And we'll start with Andrew. So go ahead, Andrew. Oh, right. Before you start, Andrew, I'm so sorry. We're so happy to have Andrew and then Callan back. Hi, Callan.
Hello, I'm here.
Sorry. Good to see you guys.
Thank you. So Andrew, go ahead.
I'm going to start with my favorite rule so far, or maybe the rule I can get behind the quickest. It's probably going to be the universal DH. I wasn't necessarily behind it at the beginning, just because I do enjoy like a little bit more strategy that the NL has to go through and like pitching changes, double switches and all that. And especially when it gets to the playoffs, how that plays against AL teams that don't normally have to deal with that strategy. It's always interesting to see like that dynamic, but it is fun seeing 1 through 9 be able to like hit for power, hit consistently and not have to deal with like pitchers batting but again, pitchers are skilled in like their sacrifice bunts that like typical hitters aren't usually practicing. They're usually practicing kind of, if they bunt, they bunt for hits. And I'll also miss just kind of like pitchers who rake. So like Zach Greinke was always fun to like watch hit because yes. he could put the bat on the ball. So that'll be missed if it does end up like kind of staying permanent. The rule I kind of want to see go away, I realize that it's for the situation of the shortened season, but like the regional divisions, only playing the West, only playing the Central, only playing the East. It's definitely weird, and it can provide some challenges when it gets to the playoffs, because you'll end up playing divisions that you haven't seen all year. So it's just even playing ground. It's a blank canvas. So it'll be interesting to see how those teams play out in October when we get there. So like the Padres have been doing really good, but how are they going to do against the Central or the East? So they've got to like match up against those teams. But yeah, that'll be it.
Yes. Sorry to have cut you off there at the end, Andrew. I was just going to add, we can't forget about pitchers who rake. I know both of us are Dodger fans, but we can't forget about Madison Bumgarner. So he is a very good hitter. And Hunjin Ryu hit a home run last year. So Babe Ruth, remember that? Reese, what about you?
Okay, so starting off with the rule that I like that's been implemented, I like having an expanded roster. I think that, there's nothing like super special about it, but like it definitely is beneficial in the sense that it does give players a little bit more rest when necessary, so that way we're not seeing as many injuries. So hopefully prolonging the amount of time that players can actually play throughout the season. So I like that one. And then the rule that I really like, am not the biggest fan of, I'm going to have to go with the runner on second and extra innings. I don't know. I don't like that rule very much. I think it's not cheating or anything, obviously, but like it's kind of like a cheap way out. Like you have someone already on second, like they're in scoring position right off the bat. I think it just kind of takes away from the excitement of extra inning games. I always like going games into extra innings. It's a lot more suspenseful. You really never know what's going to happen. So starting with someone on second, I don't know. I just feel like it just takes away that little extra oomph that you would normally get from a traditional game. So yeah, not a fan of that one.
You miss the oomph. We all miss the oomph, I would say. Charles?
Well, I was going to dish it over to Callan, but I can go ahead and give my opinion right now. So for the rule that I love the most, I was going to go with the universal DH, but I actually like the runner on second. I think it adds some entertainment value. And I think that for families and people who have work that want to stay for the games, they might be tempted to go an extra inning because there's a runner on second and they might see a win or a walk-off. So, and I think that it connects a lot to overtime in football. Like, it's not like if the runner scores, then the game is over. You still have a runner on second yourself and you could put up a run or two and maybe tie it back up or take the lead. So I think the entertainment value is going to go up a lot, and I think people are going to stay more for games, and you'll see the stands packed in the 10th, 11th innings. And in terms of a rule that I hate these umpires ejecting people from the stands. It's so, it gives them way too much power, you know, small man's disease out there. These guys think they have the power to kick anyone out and do anything. I mean, Strasburg was just chilling out there, you know, eating his peanuts, made a comment, and then all of a sudden he has to leave. That makes no sense to me. I mean, umpires get barked at the entire game from coaches. You see coaches get in the face of an ump and they're still not kicked out sometimes. So I think that's a Bush League move to kick them out like that. And I'm not a fan of these umps having power during COVID.
But No crowds magnify that whole thing this entire season.
Mm-hmm. It does. You're that's kicking true. Out like 20% of the fan base when you do that. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense to me. So what do you think, Callan? What's your favorite and what's your least favorite?
I would go with the 7-inning doubleheaders being one of my – probably my favorite rule change the whole year. Just I think they're trying their best to keep these guys kind of off the field and kind of limit the time and perhaps that potential exposure out there. And I think it's probably a thing that brings guys back to like high school ball where they would probably play a doubleheader on a Saturday afternoon and stuff like that. I know, but some states do play 9 innings or they do play 7, but I think that's probably been a good way to go. And I think if baseball looks to keep that going, I think a lot of people would get on board. And if they actually schedule doubleheaders for like a Saturday or a Sunday, I think more people would come out for those games or like in the middle of the week, kind of like what they used to do back in the day. And I think I'm probably with a lot of people as well that I'm not a big fan of the extra inning rule. I get what they're trying to do, like I mentioned, in regards to limiting time on the field and trying in a way to keep the games from going super long, as not like they already are super long as is already. But if you want more drama, Reese, go to a game in Japan. Extra innings they do, bases loaded, one out to start every extra inning.
Wow.
Bases loaded, one out? That is some
oomph for sure.
Bases what? Loaded, one out to start every extra inning over in Japan for pro baseball.
For all you Dodger fans out there, how bad would Kenley do? Wow. Oh, my God.
And that would come up as like a 10-9 game potentially. I mean, who knows? That kind of a scenario. Yep.
Talk about drama. Bases loaded, one out to start an extra inning.
Yeah, we would lose our closer. Like that right there would end Kenley's career. Sorry, Kenley, we love you and we want you on the podcast. We are called the bullpen after all. So those were all great points. All of you have great things to say. I was going to say, let's see, my favorite rule, and I also like the universal DH. That's one of my favorites, but I like the 3-batter minimum. Mm-hmm. Because I haven't really, I mean, this is also to say that the Dodgers have one of the best, if not the best, bullpens this year, and they've had to certainly take on quite the load. My God, when was the last time a Dodgers starter went more than 2 innings? Can anybody think? I can't. But, you know, they are so good, but it feels more like there's a rhythm, and it keeps the game going, and you don't need to, like, wait an extra... I mean, the game is already so long, and especially with watching the basketball playoffs right now, you just realize, wow, baseball is such a long game. And compared to really any other sport. So I really like that rule. I think that it also gives the relievers a chance to face righty and lefty, which is good for their resume. And it also widens their skill set. And also it's good strategy. Like sometimes I think managers, you know, Dave Roberts has been guilty of this in the past. They could be guilty of sort of over managing.
Yes.
In those situations. And it sort of leaves a little bit more. I mean, you could still change a reliever if they face 3 in the middle of an inning, but it does leave a little more to the fates, to the baseball gods. It leaves a little bit more like if they have it, they have it. If they don't, bad things are going to happen, which again, for the Dodgers, good things have happened. My opinion might be a little different if the bullpen was garbage, which it's been in the past. So that's my favorite. My least favorite is, and this obviously goes, it's only a COVID rule, but I'm just going to sum it up because nobody brought it up. No fans in the stands is my least favorite rule because the cardboard cutouts just don't do it for me. You know, again, to bring up the NBA, and it seems like we always bring up the NBA because they just do everything right. You know, they've done it really smart. Like they have the crowd noise just like in baseball, but they also have fans sort of on video. Like,
yeah, my friend just did that.
And that's really smart. I know it's indoors, so it's kind of easier mechanically to work out rather than these, you know, baseball stadiums. But I think there's something there. And, you know, if they could do that for the playoffs, because again, we just saw yesterday that I think it was Jeff Passan. I could be wrong, but somebody broke the news that there is going to be a bubble of sorts for the playoffs. The fields involved will be Dodger Stadium, Petco Park, Globe Life Park. I think that's where the Rangers play. Thank you. And Minute Maid, where Houston plays. So, ironically, how'd they get to that decision? That's my least favorite rule. I want to go back to games, but I also want to see fans in the stands. I think the Dodgers would have won a lot more games even at home if there's the excitement of the crowd, because they always have the most fans in the stands, and I like to see that. But for every team, I like to see the fans. It makes it more dramatic. It makes it more sort of enjoyable. The players get into it, and they sort of feed off of each other's energy, and it's always fun to see. And I'm watching like highlights on my computer of like old games, and it's a little depressing because it's just so much more exciting than them being alone. So
yeah, how many game outcomes do you think would have been changed with fans in the stands, not just for the Dodgers but just all around the league? It would have been interesting to see that. And you know, you're right, Heather, I think that they can implement fans throughout the entire game. They've done a couple of screen shout outs, if you will, to a big group of fans that are just kind of hanging out, but they only get shown for about 5 minutes during the stretch. So I think that that can be implemented, especially for night games. It's very easy to see that board out there, and you could see them kind of cheering on sometimes when there's a deep fly ball hit to center field. You'll see that board and fans will be right there cheering. So I think that's an easy graphic that they can do, and something that we recommended very early on in this podcast. I think it was episode 2 that we were mentioning. Yeah. So they didn't listen, and hopefully they listened to us for the playoffs.
Yeah. Anything that anybody wants to add or that we missed? No.
I don't think so.
Okay, so we're gonna take a quick. We're gonna take a quick break, and we'll be right back with a very special Your Take, Our Take. So we'll be back.
Welcome back to All Talk No Bach. This is Your Take, Our Take. We're going to get into a very special topic today, one that's dear to our hearts, favorite baseball movies of ours. We got a lot of different ones to choose from out there. A lot of classics, old and new. We'll start with Andrew. What do you got, man? What's your favorite baseball movie?
I got to go tried and true. It's my favorite movie of all time, let alone baseball movie, but The Sandlot. You can't go wrong with it. I feel like there are probably better made baseball movies, but this one just kind of like encapsulates baseball in like its essence. And it's probably the most culturally relevant, You don't see a lot of other Halloween costumes based off of other baseball movies. Like you see Benny and Squints and Wendy. So I got to go Sandlot. I know it like the back of my hand, word for word. So, undefeated.
I feel like that falls under the classic category, Andrew. Very.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You can be watched at any time of your life, and you'll have a great time. That's a good pick, man.
Hall of Fame movie, no question.
Oh, for sure.
Heroes are remembered, but legends never die.
I got them all right here in trading cards.
He's ready.
Look at that.
What about you, Callan? What's your favorite baseball movie?
I agree with The Sandlot about how it kind of encapsulates the game and stuff like that in regards to, like Andrew had said, though, in regards to the Halloween costumes. But not just that, though. It always reminds me, though, of, like, me growing up playing baseball with my friends or, like, going to the park on a Saturday afternoon and throwing the ball around or even with your dad or stuff like that. I definitely agree with The Sandlot, though, absolutely. Especially, I think, that my favorite scene, though, 4th of July, playing the game underneath the fireworks and the guys playing at night. Probably one of my favorite 4th of July moments that is in film that I always, like, look at and gets me ready for the 4th of July.
Oh, for sure.
I'm going to start crying over here, man. I love that. I mean, when he says baseball was life as well, I mean, I could
quote
backwards and forwards, but it was a great scene. Another great one. What about you, Reese? Favorite baseball
movie? The Sandlot is an amazing movie. I'm going to mix it up a little bit and go with A League of Their Own. I actually am newer to this movie, surprisingly. Yeah, no, literally. Yeah, see, there you go. And the reason I'm going with that, like, as a woman in sports, in a very traditionally male-dominated industry, I think that movie is really inspiring. And, you know, obviously baseball, like, once again, very male-dominated sport. So to see these girls go out and create their own league and absolutely dominate, like, it's such a good movie and it has such a good message and it's really inspiring. And, like, as someone who wants to work in the baseball industry, like, that's definitely a movie that I can look at and get a little bit of motivation. So big fan of that one.
Yeah. And it's funny. It's funny. Yeah. And it's a tearjerker. Yeah. And I mean, it kind of has it all.
It's a little bit of everything.
It's also right up there with, like, Halloween costumes. Like, yeah, the other one brings out a good
the
Halloween
Rockford
costume.
Rockford Peaches.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great movie.
And the Racine, is that the other one? Yeah.
Racine.
Yeah. Sorry.
Deborah Winger almost played Gina Davis's role as well.
Really?
So
really?
Different.
How do you know that?
Turned it down, which was a very interesting choice. But.
Wow.
Charles probably regrets that.
Just not a right fit, I guess, for Deborah Winger. Gina Davis got that baseball vibe, more of a softball or baseball girl. So.
yeah. By the way, I just watched League of Their Own with my mom the other day. Can we talk about whoever they cast as, like, the older version of Gina Davis? Brilliant. I literally thought that was the same person. I thought they just gave Gina Davis, like, an older haircut. Oh my god, that was, like,
yeah, that movie's casted so well.
Yep.
Excellent casting.
Yeah, really good. Madonna was great. Rosie O'Donnell, good movie.
I think all the old people resembled them perfectly.
Yeah, at the end. Oh, that makes me tear up. Charles?
So my favorite movie, it's a classic. Everyone's probably favorite if, you know, you love playing catch with your dad, is Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Such a good one.
You have a catch, I cry every time. Like, there's no stopping that. I mean, especially if, you know, it's been a long day and I watch that movie, it's bringing a tear to my eye every time. And, you know, James Earl Jones, I just think he represents baseball history in that movie so well, the way that he talks about it and how it's, you know, America's pastime and how it will outlast, you know, basically wars and everything that, you know, we can go through. Baseball will stand the test of time. And, you know, to play with your favorite team as well, or just watch them after they've already retired, everyone, like, he was a big White Sox fan, big Shoeless Joe Jackson fan, and now he has him in his backyard. What more could you ask for as a baseball fan? You know, and then he gets to see his dad one last time. It's just perfect movie. Best ending to a baseball movie, I think. Best overall soundtrack to a baseball movie as well. I love the music in there. And just well done overall. And I got to give honorable mention to my comedy. It's up on my wall as well. I got to give a shout out to Benchwarmers. Hilarious movie.
Yes.
Bob Schneider plays that role so well. And I just think it's something that you can watch at any point with your family and have a good laugh. So Benchwarmers, got to throw it in there. He's in the bushes.
They're both solid picks. Amazing.
Good picks. I am so last. I was going to say League of Their Own, but because I actually just rewatched that with my mom not so long ago, a couple weeks ago, or maybe a week ago. I don't know. Time just blends right now. And I love that movie. I've seen it a couple times. But I think I'm going to go with, and this would have been at the top of my list anyway, I'm going to go with 42. It's very sad. Again, rest in peace to Chadwick Boseman. What a terrible loss in the cinema world, in the entertainment world. But wow, I mean, I cried at so many different parts. To just, you know, with the heroes of any sport or really anything in general that have passed or, you know, it's already aged a bit, you know, the current or the next generations could forget truly what these people had to go through to become the greats that they did. And, you know, and Jackie is a legend, obviously, but we can say that, but to actually see it and to sort of see what he went through in such a like brutal way, but also it was so beautiful, that his story was so beautifully told. I mean, his relationship with his wife was special. His relationship with his teammates was special. What's the name? Branch Rickey. That was such a cool, you know, thing to see. Cause again, these names could kind of fade into the ether. But they were brought back for our generation and generations after us. So it'll be immortalized in film. And it was just such a good movie. I think Chadwick Boseman played the role brilliantly. I don't even think he was nominated for any, you know, awards necessarily, but I definitely think he should have been. And yeah, I don't, the story speaks for itself, really. It's a great sort of biopic. And I was gonna give honorable mention, this is just a sports movie, not necessarily baseball involved, more football, but I was gonna give a shout out to Jerry Maguire just because I really like that movie. Again, I saw it with my mom. I watch all the movies with my mom. And it's a really good movie. Anyway, that's just a good sports movie. Tom Cruise is really good. And so that's my pick. Anything that anybody wants to add? I think we all picked really good movies.
Yeah.
I think they're all really strong. I don't have, you know, last week was so contentious. I still, you know, the hot dog debate will forever last in the bullpen staff. But this week, I don't think there's anything much to argue. What do you guys think?
No arguments. I agree with everyone's picks.
Yeah. They're all really good picks. I definitely miss like how a couple of summers ago, a lot of baseball stadiums were showing like a lot of these movies in the outfield, like on the big screens.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. I remember maybe a few years ago, a good handful of years ago, I got to watch The Sandlot sitting in the outfield of Dodger Stadium. They were playing them on the big screen. So that was really cool.
That's awesome.
They had like they had the cast there and all that. So got to take a picture and get autographs from a couple of them. So it's really cool. Like these movies bring people together.
Yeah. It's just like the sport itself, you know, like it's something that we can all kind of come together and unite on and just enjoy as a unit. Yeah. It's nice.
And they also, you know, it's fun for us because we're all, you know, in our early 20s to kind of relive these sort of time capsules of sorts and keep the, you know, the movies alive, the memories alive. That's really cool. So we'll take another short break and we will wrap it up in just a sec.
We'll be right back.
Thank you everyone so much for joining us. That's it for this week's episode of All Talk No Balk. Another special shout out, Callan. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Callan.
Catch us on here same time next week where we nominate our picks for our baseball Mount Rushmore. So should be pretty exciting stuff.
Fun, your take, our take. We're really excited. Anybody that wants to join us can call in on Anchor, leave a voicemail if you want to be featured on next week's episode. Yeah, so that's it. You know, as always, follow us on Instagram, on Twitter, head to our website. Great articles again this week. Charles made his MLB 2020 postseason predictions. To be honest, I was pretty pleased. And I will believe it when I see it, Dodgers. And so that was a great one. But yes, every week and even into the off season, you guys should know that we will continue with the podcast and also with the articles. So don't worry, after the postseason, we're still going to stick around. And there's always baseball to talk about. So yes, head to there and join us for your take, our take. We want to thank everybody. Merch is on the way. We're having a little bit of a stall. We had to press pause for a little bit, but it will be coming. So look out for the merchandise. It'll be shirts, cups, stickers, any pens? Probably not pens. Whatever. Anything you want. So that's really exciting. We will certainly be ourselves buying a lot of merch because we're super excited. And get our faces on shirts because our faces are so beautiful and you want to see them all the time, even on your body. So do that. And we will have a link tree coming with all the different links where you can find everything easy. That's on the way. And our LinkedIn page and Facebook pages are in under construction at the moment. So don't worry if that they're being wonky right now. That's it though. We want to thank Callan again for coming. He's such a special guest, always very insightful. And he knows a lot about baseball and we're very impressed by his knowledge. So thank you, Callan. Thank you, Andrew, for being basically like a host in training at this point because you're on every week. Mr. Reliable over there. Thank you to Charles and Reese for being lovely, beautiful co-hosts. That's the word I'm looking
shucks,
for.
Heather, you make me blush.
Okay. And thank you to me. That's it. So thank you guys for joining and we'll see you next week. Not bye everyone.
Make sure you follow us. Everything's in the description.
Everything's in the description of the Spotify and the YouTube. Everything's in the description and there'll be more descriptive descriptions. They'll have more in there. So you guys will find everything. Thank you guys.